I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Hear now the reading of God's Word, John 10, 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So ended the reading.
The focus of this portion of John 10 is on Jesus as the gate of the sheepfold. Admittedly, the image of Jesus as a shepherd makes for a far more natural comparison than comparing Jesus to a gate. And how can Jesus be both at the same time? These two images are part of an extended metaphor that speaks of sheep, shepherd, gate, gatekeeper, strangers, thieves, bandits, and wolves. All of these, except for the wolves, are introduced in the first 10 verses. And all of the elements of this extended metaphor contribute to understanding who Jesus is and who we are in relation to him. And keep in mind, that was important. And it's important the way Mike read it, because it was beautifully read. It tells us who we are in relation to Jesus. Yet Jesus begins by describing who he is not. Those who climb into the sheepfold in a furtive way are thieves and bandits who do not care about the sheep but only care about their own gain. By contrast, the shepherd enters the sheepfold openly by means of the gate. He is recognized immediately by both the gatekeeper who opens the gate for him and by the sheep who know his voice. When he calls his sheep by name, they follow him, and he leads them out to pasture. The sheep will not follow a stranger, but instead will flee from one whose voice they do not recognize. Do you recognize Jesus' voice? At this point, John comments, those listening did not understand the figure of speech. In Hebrew and in Greek, we see the word paromia. Jesus was using, rather than change tactics, Jesus doubles down on this figure of speech, saying to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate." Did you hear that? I am the gate for the sheep. He describes all who came before him as thieves and bandits, to whom the sheep did not listen. Again, Jesus says, "I am the gate," and then adds, "Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Whereas the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy," Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Of course, the purpose of the gate is not to keep the sheep, the purpose of the gate is to keep the sheep together in the sheepfold during the night, safe from thieves and predators. During the day, the gate is open so the sheep can go out, following their shepherd to pasture. So the sheep are there protected at night. They're not imprisoned. They can get out, and they will in the daytime. And Jesus opens that gate in the morning and lets them out. The gate and the shepherd work together for the well-being of the sheep, so the flock thrives. Jesus is both the gate and the shepherd at the same time. He guards and protects his sheep from danger, and he provides for their nourishment, for their life in abundance. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to ask that you listen closely to this. Remember, this is Christian Family Sunday. You know, there once was a shepherd that lived in the Scottish Highlands. This shepherd had a daughter, and he would take her with him when he went out to the moors to take care of the sheep. The thing the little girl liked best was to hear the call of the shepherd, her father. His voice sounded so free and beautiful as carried across the valleys of the moors. As the years passed, the little girl became a beautiful young woman and went off to one of Scotland's great cities. It was there she was determined to build a life. On her arrival, she would write back home to her parents every week. But as life began to take her by the hand, her letters soon dropped off in their frequency, and soon there were none. Rumors began to filter back home to the shepherd and his wife. Their daughter had started hanging out with some unsavory characters, and they were having a very negative influence on her life. One day, one of the boys from back home ran into her in the city streets, and she acted as if she didn't even know him. When the old shepherd heard this, he gathered a few things together and dressed in his rough shepherd clothes, then went to the city to find his daughter. For days on end, he looked for her. He looked everywhere, the slums, the rows of houses, the markets, the taverns, and everywhere in between, to no avail. So after all of this searching, he became very discouraged with the thought he had lost his daughter to the city. Just as he was on the outskirts of the city, as he started the long trek back home, he remembered how his daughter had always loved to hear the voice of the shepherd calling out to the sheep. So he turned around and on this quest, motivated by his sorrow and his love, began to stalk the streets. His voice rang out the shepherd's call. The citizens of the city looked at him as if he had lost his wits. It wasn't too long as he walked the streets of one of the degraded neighborhoods that inside one of the houses, his daughter sitting among those who had led her astray, heard his voice. With great astonishment on her face, she heard the voice of the shepherd, the voice of her father calling out to her. She leapt up and rushed out to the street and ran into the arms of that old shepherd, her father. It was then he took her back home to the highlands of Scotland and brought her back to God. Those who can hear the voice of a shepherd do return to the fold. Have you ever lost a child? They went astray. You weren't sure where they were. Did you use the voice of the shepherd, or did you use the voice of incrimination and anger? What are you doing? Just use the shepherd's voice. Do you remember the story of the blind man in chapter 9 we heard a few Sundays ago? The Pharisees who had interrogated the blind man are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, those who care for, protect, and nourish the people. Instead, they expelled the healed blind man from their community, refusing to believe Jesus and his healing work came from God. They were more concerned about guarding their power and authority than about the well-being of people. Do we as a church get to where we're more concerned about our power and authority than we do about the people? Are we like that sometimes? Do we want to guard our power and authority more than looking out for the well-being of those around us? Are those who have fallen away from the church because those should have been shepherds? Were we shepherds? Are those who have fallen away from the church because those who should have been shepherds were Pharisees? In the story of the blind man, Jesus, having already restored the sight of the man, seeks him out again after his expulsion from the synagogue and brings him into the community of his followers. For the blind man, salvation is not only receiving his physical sight, but also receiving his spiritual sight. Recognizing who Jesus is, believing in him and becoming part of his community. He followed the voice of Jesus before he could see him, and it led him to new life. His days of isolation were over. He now knows himself to be a valued member of Jesus' flock, cared for and protected. Do we make our members feel valued and protected? Are we as a church helping people to feel they are valued as a member of Central Christian Church? Do we care for and protect not just our membership, but those outside the four walls? Do we make our family members feel valued and protected? What does it mean for us as followers of Jesus today to be protected by the gate and the shepherd, to be saved, to have life in abundance? It is important for us to note the metaphor of the gate is not one of exclusion, not a license to think of ourselves as Jesus' true sheep and others as outsiders. Because if we use it this way, we become like the Pharisees who expelled the blind man from their community. The purpose of the gate is not to keep out other sheep. Indeed, Jesus says in verse 16, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." You see, the purpose of the gate is to guard against all that threatens the well-being of the sheep: thieves, bandits, and wolves. It goes without saying there are many thieves and bandits in our world who seek to steal, kill, and destroy. There are also wolves in sheep's clothing. For example, evangelists who proclaim the abundant life Jesus offers as a life of continual health, wealth, and success. This message often leads to much wealth for the evangelist, but deception and despair for those who follow and find that life is still full of struggles. What then is the life in abundance that Jesus promises? The whole of John's gospel is focused on the gift of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. I am the resurrection, and those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But these are written so you may believe, and through believing, you may have life in his name. That's a summary of the Gospel of John. Life, or eternal life, in John's gospel is not just about life after death. It is life that begins here and now. It is knowing the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. It is knowing the voice of the Good Shepherd who truly cares for us. It is life in community, finding security and nourishment as part of his flock. It is life that abounds in meaning and value and endures beyond death. May 7th, many years ago, the day Roger Sims was discharged from the Army, World War II, he couldn't get a bus, so he decided to hitchhike his way home. Carrying his heavy suitcase and his Army uniform, he flashed for the oncoming car. It was a luxurious black Cadillac, so he didn't expect it to stop. To his surprise, the car did stop. He thanked the well-dressed man and entered the front seat. He was heading to Chicago, so it was along the way. I have a business there. My name is Hanover, the driver said. After talking about many things, Roger, a Christian, felt the need to share with his 50-something-year-old successful businessman about Jesus Christ. But he kept putting it off until he realized he was just about 30 minutes from his home. It was now or never. So Roger cleared his throat and said, "Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important." He then proceeded to explain how his life had been changed by Christ, finally asking Mr. Hanover if he'd like to receive Christ as his Savior. To Roger's surprise, the man pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought he was angry and wanted to ask him to get out of the car. But the businessman bowed his head and said he wanted to pray. So he received Christ and then thanked Roger. "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me," Mr. Hanover said. 5 years went by. Roger married and had a 2-year-old boy and a business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he found the small white business card Hanover had given him 5 years before. In Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises, the company of Mr. Hanover. Upon arrival at Hanover Enterprises, a receptionist told him it was impossible to see him now, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. A little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into a lovely office and found himself facing a woman in her 50s. She extended her hand and asked, "You knew my husband?" Roger told her how he knew her husband and how he had given him a ride 5 years ago. She asked, "Can you tell me when that was?" "It was May 7th, the day I was discharged from the Army." He went on to share what they talked about and how her husband prayed to receive Christ into his life. Mrs. Hanover began to weep. Roger was surprised. She said, "I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him." "And where is your husband?" Roger asked. "He's dead. He was in a car accident after he let you out of the car. He never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise." She cried and then added, "I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his word." Much has been written about how sheep are rather unintelligent. It is true that without a shepherd, they will not necessarily be able to find food or water, and they will easily get lost and not be able to find their way home. However, the thing Jesus emphasizes about sheep is they know the voice of their shepherd. Whatever else one can say about the mental capacities of sheep, they have this in their favor. They recognize the voice of the one who cares for them, just like in a family. They follow their shepherd, but will not follow a stranger whose voice they do not know. Mr. Hanover heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. Mr. Hanover was saved. What about us? Do we recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd over all the other voices promising abundance? How might you help others to recognize that voice? How might we as a church help people to recognize the voice of our Lord? How might a family help their children to recognize the voice of the Lord? That is our mission. That is a mission and has been for many years in the church. In fact, from its inception, to help people recognize the voice of the shepherd. When we leave this sanctuary and we go over to Disciple Hall to share in a meal, may we hear that voice saying, "You're a family, you're my family, and I will protect you and give you shelter." Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today knowing that we have not always been one who leads people to your voice. We come before you knowing that many times we have not heard your voice. We ask that you continue to speak to us, to speak to our hearts and minds, that we may know that you are with us, that you are here this day, and you are here every day, filling us with your word and your works. May we hear the voice. May we respond to the call. And Lord, as we go next door to eat, we ask that you bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies, that we may be strong enough and have the will to do your work. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.